This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And tonight we have a guest that was on 3 years ago, and we were discussing early onset dementia. So tonight we were asking for my guest to come back on and give us an update on what her situation is today. That was, 2017, and today is 2020. So before I do anything else, let's introduce our guest, who is Mrs. LaRue. Hello, Ms. LaRue, how are you?
Hi, I'm still here.
Okay, and that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. So we're going to go through it and ask you, what do you think is the reason that you're still here? But before that, can we catch up a little bit on who Janice LaRue is? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a retired professor. I'm about to turn 71 and years old, and I live with my husband of 49 years and my grandson, who lives with us, like a lot of people have grandchildren these days living with them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And he's about to turn 20. But he has a learning disorder, so you know, we don't know how long he'll be with us, so we just take one day at a time. But we didn't want to put him in a system where we might not ever see him again. So even though it hasn't been easy, we just take one day at a time, all of us together.
Oh, that's a good thing. So you say you were a professor. What did you teach?
I taught in the medical field. I taught laboratory science, and I taught students how to work in hospital laboratories and forensics laboratories, and I also taught the sciences, microbiology, chemistry, et cetera. I had students through second year of medical school.
Oh, wow. Okay. So at any time did you discuss with your students anything about dementia or Alzheimer's?
Well, not only as far as the textbook took us, because at the time it wasn't affecting me personally, so I only went as far as we needed to clinically, meaning for them to learn what they needed to learn to pass their licensure exams, for example, you know, or to function.
So you were in a college, university type setting?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. I worked in one of the medical schools.
Oh, okay. So how long were you teaching?
Well, I've taught one thing or another, you know, since I was in my early 20s. I spent my early part in public schools, but after about 5-6 years in public schools, I went back and furthered my education and so that I could go on and teach in higher education. And so that's where I spent probably about the last 40 years of my teaching was in higher education in the sciences and medicine.
Okay. That's very interesting.
problem is I don't think I could do it today, though.
So well,
that's what's kind of painful to think about.
Oh, don't be painful. I mean, this year will be the 10th year that I've been retired. I retired in 2010, and this is my 10th year, and I don't want to do that again. I mean, I love it. I loved it. I loved it when I was doing it, but once I retired, you know, I wasn't trying to go back. Now, I know a lot of people do. But if I were going to do that, then I would have done it sooner, you know, than now.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
10 years out of the game, nah. Mm-mm. And I know the kids are a lot different than the ones that I left. But,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I know. My son is a principal. And he just got his doctorate. So,
cool.
Yes. I don't know which way he'll be going now. But at any rate, we're talking about you. And I thank you for kind of reviewing what we were talking about 3 years ago. And the good news is I am so thankful that you are still here. I really am, because I don't know a lot about that particular disease. I don't know how it works, and I don't know how you pass from one to the other, or do you always, is it always that you pass, you have to have dementia first, and then you go into Alzheimer's? Is that the way it works? I'm not sure. Do you know? I don't know if you know.
A lot of the things, you know, I do try to read. One of the effects, though, for me is retention lately. And it's kind of getting worse, meaning I can read something, but by the time I get done with it, I may have to go back and read it again because my it's like short-term memory that it is not fully there anymore. So, like now, I can't quite remember what your question was. What was your question again?
I was just asking if the dementia was a prerequisite to having Alzheimer's. I wasn't sure about that. I don't know how that works.
I think
if you have one, do you have to have the other?
I think dementia is, if I remember, is the general category, and then there's different kinds of dementia, and Alzheimer's is just one kind of dementia, but that there are other kinds of dementia and other causes, and so it's different levels. I don't think dementia necessarily leads to Alzheimer's.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, somebody out there could probably help out on that one. But the thing
both
is
the same thing.
You may start off maybe similarly, but then it may develop into different directions. Well, especially if there's different variables added, you know, to the whole overall situation, you know. So some people also develop it quickly and go downhill kind of fast. I started out, they initially, three years ago, had me at the mild stage, and I was on one medication, donepezil, but now, 3 years later, I'm considered in the moderate area, and so now I'm on twice the amount of donepezil plus a second pill that they put me on too. So as I've gone from mild to moderate, they've increased my medication. So and you know they tell me to, you know, do things, which I do. I work puzzles, and I even though my retention is poor, I still try to read, but the crosswords and all that, simple things, I can still do, although there are times when if I'm trying to read something that is, you know, deep, quote unquote, like something that is very spiritual, or, you know, it takes abstract thinking, or, you know, anything like that, it's like it no longer sinks in. So I've had steps backwards in that portion too. So things are, I try to keep a sense of humor, you know, and that's why I do the, you know, sometimes the self-deprecating humor where I kind of make fun of myself, but you know, deep down, it's been very difficult to deal with overall. I cannot
imagine what you go through on a daily basis. I really cannot. I mean, when you say the retention, I can understand that if you're reading a page, but at some point, do you stop and kind of go over what you've read and then kind of try to get something,
I get frustrated. I get frustrated because I have to, you know, reread and I get frustrated because I'm not progressing very far, you know, and because I have to keep going back. So I get frustrated. I mean, I still have, say, a lot of my medical books, which I have not been able to get rid of, and I try and I go back and, go back and reread those because there are simple things that I used to lecture on that now I can't remember, you know, and it's like I knew that, you know. If you teach a course for, you know, so many years, you kind of know it by heart, or, you know, and now.
So what you're saying is that when you run across something, you say, "Oh, I know that." So then, something, you know, kind of clicks. Oh, you're saying you should know that.
I thought you said you knew that. Well, sometimes I can use, you know, clues around me to figure things out. For example, you know, even with something as simple as, you know, when I cook, if I'm going to make a dinner, now I have to write down what I'm even making, because there were times I would say, okay, I'm supposed to go to the kitchen, and then I'd sit there in the kitchen and couldn't remember what I was supposed to be making. And I would ask, you know, my husband 3 or 4 times, what did I say I was making? And that got to be pretty tough. And I didn't want, I guess, him to know that I was struggling as much as I was. So I would try to write things down. Okay, to today you're making this, and you have to check for that. You know, I mean, things that, you know, I would do on automatic, actually, you know, before. So, you know, and even when, you know, it comes to getting ready for an appointment, you know, I'd stand there in the mirror and say, okay, I have to do this first and that second, and, you know, and it's that kind of thing. And so
I can leave a room, or I can go to a room and stand up in the middle of the floor and say, why am I here? I mean, you know, and then it'll hit me, oh, that's what I needed to do, you know. So
Well, with me, it never comes to me without help.
Well, let me ask you this. I know you mentioned your husband, and how does that work with him? I mean, you know, because I know he's helping you. As you say, he follows you around. He followed you around for 49 years. Is that what you say? Because I know that you are Okay, he's Caucasian.
Yeah.
And you are a sister. And
last time I checked. Yeah.
Okay. So when you guys go out and somebody says, you two together, and you say he followed you around for the last 49 years, that's kind of cool. I like that. But I have a person here who has a question or would like to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guest, you're on with Mrs. LaRue.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Janet. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Hello.
This is Maceo. This is Virginia's son, oldest son.
First born.
Oh, my goodness. I think last time I saw you, you were a little kid.
Wow, yeah. Well, I'm a big kid with a granddaughter now.
Yeah, he's a big kid.
You are a grandpa?
I am.
Wow.
And they made me a great grandmother.
Oh boy! I guess if that's the case, I guess I need to go lay down in the garden then.
Uh-oh.
Not necessarily now.
Right. Yeah, I was just tuning in. Listening to you tell your story. You know, I tuned in a little late. Do you think the
Tell me I don't listen to Nana.
Okay, baby. Hold on. Now, do you think
that's my great granddaughter?
Right, that's Kyla. You think the Alzheimer's is hereditary? I mean, where do you think it came from, or do you know?
Well, it's not quite at the Alzheimer's stage. It's still dementia. Dementia. You know, has different categories, and Alzheimer's is just one of them. The dementia could stay pretty much the same. It seems like I'll tell you. One doctor told me everything's inherited, but a gunshot wound. So I took that to mean that on some level, everything, you know, you carry genes for things, and it's like some of those genes get activated, and we don't know by what. You know,
It could be environment.
It could be stress, you never really know, but they can get activated if you have the gene for it, but that doesn't necessarily happen, you know. So some people in the family may get it, and then some people may not, you know.
Right.
So with my family, the dementia aspect was on my father's side of the family, and I didn't find out until I started inquiring about myself, and it's like, am I all alone in this, or you know? And I found out that there were others, at least two others, both women that had the same thing, and one of them had been a nurse for about 40 years, you know, before it happened to her. So, you know, you just never know. You know, you have to, like they say, play the cards you're dealt, you know.
That's right.
Live the life that you can, and don't let opportunities pass you by because you don't know what's going to happen down the road.
That's true.
You know,
now,
because
do any of the medications, do they help?
I'm now afraid to go without them because it seems like, well, I think as I remember, the doctor said that the medications are not a cure. They may simply delay the progression.
Okay.
So either way, the medications, I guess, can't lose. But I have gone from, you know, half of one pill to a whole pill plus another pill, you know, now that I'm in the moderate stage. So that may have slowed things down to where I'm still able to communicate after 3 years after the diagnosis, because maybe somebody who doesn't have the medical insurance, you know, might have gone downhill a lot faster.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. So what you're saying is that when you were on 3 years ago, you were in the mild stage.
Yes.
And now you're in the moderate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then there has been a change. Okay.
There has been definitely a change. So I kind of doubt 3 years from now if I'm going
but you don't
to be
know
to
you don't know you don't know
communicate well I mean
I'll
I
call
think
you keep... 3 years from now. I mean, you can't say that. None of us can say what's going to happen in the next 2 minutes. So we're not going to reach that far. We're not going to reach that far.
Yeah.
But
some people go home to be safe, and then a plane falls on their house, you know. So you
well, that was a
you
big
never
stretch.
Know. Oh, well. Not to me.
A plane falls on your house.
Well,
okay, I'm sorry.
That's not a big stretch for me, I guess.
Now let me ask you, Janice. Now, are you still driving and all that?
The past year, I think I've driven about 3 times. You know,
okay.
Every now and then, you know, I'll get in the car and drive a few blocks. But you know, my husband has this. I call it a LoJack. He's got on me, so he can trade.
So he don't want to lose you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
now, have
can,
you ever gone? He can find you. He can find the car.
He could find the car, and he can find me by because I keep my phone in my purse. So
okay.
You know, he's got something hooked up to that too. You know, he understands all that technical stuff.
Well, that's good.
Don't.
Now,
yeah,
have you ever gone anywhere? And now, do you? You don't drive that much because you are afraid of not remembering how to get back home. Or, okay.
Yeah, that's mainly it. You know, because I drive so rarely, it's like when I do put my hands on the steering wheel, my hands are shaking, and people have gotten quite mean out there on the streets, you know. And
yeah, a lot of road rage. Okay.
People scare you now, you know. You know, and then there's a lot of picking on old folks around here too, and you know, it really makes you a bit on the paranoid side, you know, just going out of the house. So I haven't driven more than about, say, a mile away from home, and usually it's less than that to the grocery store. Those times I did go out, you know, and the grocery store is about 4 blocks away. We've got a couple grocery stores, and I have done things like, you know, go to one store and buy a few groceries, and then go to the next store and buy the same groceries.
I have done
things like that. I have done things like that, but you know, well, at least I know I won't get lost.
Have you ever had to contact him when you thought? Have you ever thought that you were lost and you had to contact him?
Yeah.
And you know how to do that?
Yeah. Okay. He has the phone set up, so I just have to press one number. So,
oh, okay.
You know, and it contacts him. Because he knows I'm trying my best to stay independent. I've been driving since I was 15 years old, you know. And now I'm about to turn 71. It's hard to
give up your independence.
It's like giving up a big part of your life, you know.
Yeah.
So if you gotta go from being independent to asking somebody else, can you take me here and can you take me there? You know, I don't want to be dependent on anybody else, and I find myself going to fight to the end, you know, at risk of sounding like some of the other old folks out there, you know.
No.
Fight to the end to stay independent, you know, because
no,
it's like
good.
Once you give that up, it's to me that's like when you really go downhill then.
Right,
know?
Right.
So
now how is your husband? How does he deal with it? Yeah.
Well, he's the kind of man that doesn't show a lot and tries to always look on the bright side of things, you know. So I don't know if he's even accepted that I'm no longer that 19-year-old in a bikini that he first met. So
he's not the whatever age he was person when you met him either.
No, but he stays in good shape, you know. He exercises and he goes swimming 3-4 times a week, and you know, and he can get around a lot better than me. You know, over the years I've had a couple of back surgeries, and you know, those don't last for ever, you know. So I have other concerns too, and that I have to deal with as well. So that's why sometimes when you talk to me, Jenny, you have to try and talk me out of the dump sometimes, because it kind of, you know, once you lose a part of you like that, it's like
yeah,
you can't
I know.
Deal the same way with problems the way you used to, because the capability isn't there. All you know are things that are more black and white. So, you know, so my brain only knows that I can't do X, Y, and Z. And so it leads automatically to a depression type of situation. So I can't rationalize things away as well as I used to. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. And it doesn't help when a nurse tells you, well, I guess you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, yeah, I've had to, you know, deal with that, too. So I don't look for support from
that's not good.
That side. I know, but
medical personnel? I mean, whoa. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Around here, it's, I guess it's considered an underserved area, so you get a lot of people who are just here long enough to get their quota of patients with a certain condition because they want to specialize in that area, and then they pick up and go. So about every other year, you get all new doctors and, you know, all that. I remember when I had a mild stroke last year in March, and you know, a lot of when I went through the ER, a lot of them came rushing up to me, all in my face, trying to do all their evaluations at the same time, and they don't know what they did to me, but anyway. But it's kind of more like a training ground over here, you know, than anything. So not the best place.
Okay.
So, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sound
Mr.
like something, fellow
Coleman.
Oh.
Are you there?
Sound like. Oh.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
There's some background noise.
Did you have any other questions?
Yeah, I think you had touched on the depression.
Yeah.
So you say it gets a little frustrating sometimes.
I guess because it's not just for me. It's not just getting older that I could deal with pretty easily, but it's a combination of things that kind of have hit me. And I think, you know, the worst thing has been my lack, I guess, of being able to communicate the way that I used to. I mean, I was, you know, lecturing on a pretty high level and in the medical school, and now I feel I feel like I'm accomplishing something if I can just simply make myself understood. It's hard to explain exactly, but I think you kind of understand what I mean.
Now, what was your occupation? What did you do?
I was a university professor.
In
medical school. And had quite a few students over the 40-year existence in that area. It was a lot of hard work, but I enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed my students and got to see them go on and become professionals and, you know, heads of this and that. So, and I have, I still enjoy hearing from them. I have one student that's a pharmacist now in Naples, Florida, and he's I enjoy hearing from him periodically, even though it's been probably what about 15 or so years since he was last my student, but he still gives me a call periodically. So
that's
things like that I do remember and I do really appreciate. So, you know, so I've just tried to be a decent person.
Well, that's good. What's what was your highest level of education?
I was ABD, which is what they call all but dissertation. All but dissertation.
That's
what ABD.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that something you made up?
No. I
really
that used to be. Yeah. Mhm.
ABD. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm sure if you ask around, somebody has heard it before.
Okay.
But you know that was at a point when I was ready to start that I started getting these blanks in my memory where I couldn't memorize certain things that I needed to, you know. And I guess that was a hint right there that was the first hint that something was happening. But, you know, at that point, you kind of, you know, blow things off and you make excuses, oh, I'm just tired or, you know, whatever. And but then as time went on, I had to accept the fact that I might not be able to hang in there long enough to finish. And then I had, you know, I had other responsibilities and, you know, I had a sister who was ill who called me, you know, a lot for things. And I just had so many other responsibilities that I couldn't devote the full time that was needed. So I had to make a choice. And just like everybody at different points in your life, you have to decide which fork of the road are you going to take, you know.
What's your earliest memory of you being able to think back and say that, you know, it was a sign that there was some early, you know, memory issues going on? At what, when you think back, because,
well,
you know, there are times when, you know, I wonder about my memory sometimes. And so, you know, I don't know. I've heard that it could be stress related. You know, like you said, it could be genetic. But I think there's a level of stress that could also help bring on, you know.
Yes, it can. Stress can do some terrible things to you. It can go so far as to change your body chemistry, you know. And that can have an effect on your immune system, you know, and other things, mood even. But I would say probably the first thing I remember happening that I couldn't really understand was that I was driving on the highway and driving a direction I had gone for at least 5 years, and But all of a sudden, it was like the snap of a finger. I didn't know where I was. I didn't recognize my surroundings. And I was panicking because, I mean, I could have been on, you know, the other side of the country, and I just didn't know what was going on, where I was. And luckily, though, it only lasted for a few seconds, really, maybe about 20 or 30 seconds. And then it was like, oh, okay, I'm back. Now I know where I am, you know. So it was that happened that I would look back on and wonder if that was my first clue, you know.
Okay.
Because there was no reason for a panic attack or anything like that. So that's the first time that something happened questionable. And that was, boy, that was, wow, how long ago was that? I'm gonna guess that was probably like when I was around 40, you know, 40 or early 40s, when that happened. So
okay, wow. Can you hold on a second? Can you hold on? I have another caller that would like to ask a question or make a statement.
Okay.
Okay, caller, you're on.
Hi, Jenny White. I'm enjoying
How
your
you
program.
Doing?
It seems like a big family affair, and I feel like I'm an outsider. And I would just like to ask our guest, have you heard about Dr. Amen? I think he's I found out about him on Detroit Public Television, where he's a psychiatrist, from what I understand. He has this program where they look at your brain and they see the areas of, you know, that's affected or whatever. But he was saying that he controls a lot of that by diet and all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, he has this program, and then what he does is they take another picture of your brain or whatever, and you can see a lot of the area that was damaged, you know, it had changed. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I don't live in Michigan, and I don't know if
okay.
So I don't know if it comes to this area. I haven't seen anything like that. It may just not come to this area.
He works out of New York City. I was going to order the entire program on Detroit Public Television. They have the CDs and the books to read, and they have the special diets that they use. And he has a practice that's set up where his patients come, and he will, you know, I guess X-ray their brain and look at the areas of damage and things. And they start on his program, and then they progress. They do a lot better. And then they had another doctor on. Beg your pardon?
Oh, I was just saying, you know, I guess it's one of those things that, you know, it's like medicine, you know, it may help some people. It may not help everybody, you know, otherwise everybody, it would be a cure-all for, you know, those of us that are going through this. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't work. It probably does work for some people, you know. And it's probably just a matter of, you know, everybody trying different things. You never know what's going to work for you. Because I have been considering, you know, trying other things to see if they work. I don't want to do anything that's going to clash with the medicine taking.
A lot of things, though, they say has to do with your diet. And I know that's possible. Yeah. So I think we all should
information and things like that, yeah. Really talk about that.
I think I'm going to go vegan.
I'm I'm already a big vegetable eater, and you know, I do my best to have vegetables.
Okay, what is that? Somebody burning something up?
That's me. It's a fire drill. It's a fire drill. But thanks for answering my question. That's what that is. That fire drill.
Okay.
Okay, then. I'm still listening.
Okay. Maceo.
Maceo.
Are you a vegan?
No. No, I'm a meat eater.
Okay. Okay, I just thought I'd ask.
No, I'll probably eliminate the meat from my diet in February. That's something that I said I was going to do. I want to lose 10 pounds. So
you're going to delete meat. Well, you know, we stopped meat for, I think, a month. Was it a month? Mr. Whitehead, if you're listening, you can press the 1 and remind me. But we did give up meat. We went back, but we gave
it
up.
There are a lot of choices, you know, out there. And just like, you know, diets, you got Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem, and some work for some people and some the other one doesn't work. And, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, it's like any other kind of treatment where it's all so individual. You know, just like with my situation, I can say what goes on with me, but my road to travel may be different from the next person's, you know, and that's why I always try to say that up front. So,
well, everybody's road is different.
Yeah, you know, and all the other variables like your body chemistry, your stress level, you know, and like you said, maybe included with your diet, and heaven knows how many other factors, hereditary, you know, that's 4 right there that can differ from person to person. And so, you know, you never know what's going to work for one person. Or because it works for one person, that it won't work for the next person.
That's true.
It's all a guessing game. Even your doctors, they may not want to admit it, but they do a lot of guessing, you know.
Absolutely. You're right about that. And they'll send you home and don't know what you have. They'll send you home without knowing what you have.
Yeah, and, you know, they'll wait until you call back and say that didn't work, you know, and then they'll try something, you know. And so it's all a guessing game, you know. If they knew everything, people wouldn't be sick.
Well, you're right. They don't know everything, and that's for sure.
Well, let me ask you this, Janice. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for the near future? You know, in regards to this disease.
Well, it's kind of a hard question. Some things I have been doing have involved trying to get things in order about my wishes and so forth, and I'm not just talking about the kind of things that you get in order when you get past 70. I'm talking about wishes. Sometimes it comes down to small things, you know, and some things I've written down.
It's a lot of background noise, though.
Yeah, I don't know. don't know where it's coming from.
Is
that
noise?
You, Jenny?
Yeah,
I don't hear any background noise.
That's what I was hearing,
like,
too.
What does it sound like?
Paper.
Oh, okay.
Stuff moving.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of that.
But things that I think are really important that I feel I might not be able to think clearly or communicate clearly down the line. I've tried to keep. I have a couple of books that are journal types of books that I've just simply written things down because that's the best way I could think of. I'm not real big on putting things on computers because I'm still old school, you know. I got dragged into the technology age kicking and screaming. So therefore, I still enjoy writing things down and being more personable and it being able to express myself better that way. I'm still in the process, actually.
Working on advanced directives or?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything
okay.
That I feel that I will want my family to know if they have to speak for me. Because the first joke I had, I discovered what it meant to not be able to communicate, and I made up my mind then that I was going to make sure that certain questions that I knew would be asked, like say, when you get admitted. Or, you know, your wishes for this and that. So that as far as the advanced directive. But then other things like around the house or if I have a special piece of jewelry, okay, that I don't want, you know, people rolling around the street trying to get, you know, fighting over. Then, you know, I'd say, well, give my brooch to this person, you know. I mean, just anything that would help eliminate, you know, confusion and,
right.
And you know, and foster ill will, or I don't want to leave that kind of impression. You know, so everything from things like that to simple things, you know, whatever simple things you could think of. So,
do you have a journal,
you know,
every day? Do you journal?
I don't. I would like to journal every day, but I don't because when I'm days especially when I'm feeling depressed. It's like I don't want to communicate on any level, and it's all I can do some days when I feel like I'm going downhill. It's all I can do to keep from curling up in the fetal position and, you know, and just shutting out the world, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course, you know, you have to come out of that. But sometimes I feel like when I come out of that and I'm forced to communicate, I'm going to be reminded of things that I have
your
lost.
Condition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I sometimes just, I don't know, I just take one day at a time, you know, I try to do the best that I can to handle everything. I do try to help myself, and I you know, because, you know, I still understand that, you know, not trying to communicate, even though I can't the way I used to, I still understand I'm not doing myself any favors if I do seclude myself. So, you know, but sometimes I can feel better by, you know, working on a puzzle. You know, I never know what might help on that, on any given day. But I think the important thing is to keep trying as long as I can.
There
and
you
that's
go.
What I'm gonna,
there you go.
That's what I'm going to do my best to do. It gets upsetting.
What I have.
And
I know.
I still cry. I still cry.
I know.
But
I can understand
I
that.
But I'm still trying.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And one thing I have to say is I'm so thankful that you're still here. And I think I shared that with you early on, but as it bears repeating, I'm glad you're still here. And, you know, your whole, well, my whole show has been commercial free. I mean, if nobody noticed that, I haven't had one commercial this entire show. You've gone an entire hour, you know, which is great. Which is, no, that's all right. That's quite all right. I could have stopped you at any moment, but, you know, it was the things that you were saying to me were interesting. You know, I'm sure someone else got something out of it. As a matter of fact, I would like to ask you, what would you like for us to get from this? I mean, what would you want to leave with us before you go?
Well, I would say, you know, when you get into situations where you wonder if you should take a chance, like, you know, it might be something you might consider small, like, well, one day I want to learn French.
Okay.
You know, don't put it off. Why put it off if you want to do it? You know, or, you know, maybe one day I'd like to, you know, visit Argentina. Well, try and save up and go. You know, you don't want to have regrets.
That's the whole thing.
Kind of what I feel like. Don't live with regrets, and so that late in life you're not saying, I wish I coulda, woulda, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yes. 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 Yes.
You could wait too long. And then, you know, circumstances happen and you can't, you know. Well, your priorities change in your life. And, you know, maybe you go from being single with no kids and when you can do these things and then, you know, and then you wait and say, well, I'll do it later. And then now your priorities have changed because now you're married and got five kids. You know,
yeah, that's true.
Can't do the thing, you know, so I'm glad that there are still things I can look back on my life that I did accomplish, and that's now what I try to reflect on and say, well, at least I got to visit, you know, Europe three times.
No,
you know,
all right.
I, I did learn another language, and I did, you know, so I, those things now I look back on and I'm thankful I did them, you know.
That's
and
a good
that's
thing.
That's my suggestion to at least give all those things some well-deserved thought.
I think that's wonderful. You made me think, that's for sure, because it sounded like what you were saying was, you know, try it. You know, it doesn't have to work. Even if it doesn't work, at least you tried. It will never work. If you never try.
Right.
So, try it. If that doesn't work, back it up and try something else. Yeah. But never take anything for granted that you're going to be here while I'll do it next year. Nobody knows. So, you know, if you can.
You never know what's going to happen.
That's right.
Tomorrow.
That's right. What's around the corner? That's right. So, I want to thank you so much. But if you have something else to say, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I said I might not be able to walk on those cobblestone streets today, but I walked on my share before, and I can reflect on those times and have something nice to smile about.
Yeah. I walked on cobblestone in Italy, so I know what you're saying, but, you know, you did kind of encourage me, you know, and I hate to say it is procrastination, and I take that back because I'm not putting that out in the universe. But anyway, you know, that's, oh my gosh, that has been a situation for me that I have to really, really, really stop. I just have to stop it. I just have to, you know, there's nothing else I can say about that. So you have kind of encouraged me, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, 3 years later, you on my show, and hopefully if I have a show in another 3 years, that you will still be able to, you know, speak to us and tell us good stuff.
I'll be doing my best to stay on this side of the lawn.
Well, I'm going to pray about that too. So, but listen, I do want to thank you so much for, agreeing to be my guest tonight. And like I said, commercial free. So we've got some good stuff. You kept us interested in what you were saying, and then May still had some good questions. So, you know, I think it was a great show, and I appreciate you so much. I appreciate the other people that called in, and they didn't ask a question, but I know they were riveted, you know, to the show and listening, and, you know, I appreciate them as well. So, having said that, oh, yeah. You did a great job. I mean, there's somebody I know again.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Janice.
Okay. It was nice talking to you, too. Hopefully, I get to see you one day, not too far in the distant future.
That'd be good. You still in Illinois?
No, I'm in
She's
Indiana.
She's in Indiana. Munster.
And close
She's
to
close
the
to
Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm close to the Illinois state line, so. Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
well
I'd,
pleasure talking
I'd
to
like
you.
To leave
okay.
you guys with this. Okay, for my final statement, I will say there are three C's of life: choices, chances, and changes. You must make the choice to take a chance if you want anything in life to change. And having said that, I will say good night and have a fantastic weekend. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.